Goodness. Okay. So I thought we'd just review the book of Jonah. And Annette handed me this thing I thought I'd read to you first out of her Bible that just kind of gives a little bit of a background on it, where it says the name Jonah means dove. In 2 Kings 14:25, it stated that Jonah was from Gath Epher, about 2 miles northeast of Nazareth. You didn't mark the Bible, honey. And that he gave a prophecy that was fulfilled by Jeroboam. The book of Jonah is unique in the Old Testament in that the entire prophecy is written in the third person. God commanded Jonah to prophesy against Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, at a time when the power of the Assyrian Empire was resurgent and posed a threat to Israel. For this reason, Jonah was unwilling to speak to Nineveh. He hoped that God would destroy these people. The book was written after Jonah returned from his mission and had time to reflect on its significance. Some have called the book of Jonah the Acts of the Old Testament because it graphically demonstrates that God is willing to have mercy on all who seek him in humility and sincerity. The repentance of the people in Nineveh postponed the destruction of their city for roughly 150 years. But what that hits me when it says that is that that generation was saved and their children were saved. So what happened after that, I'm sure, is they went back to their old ways. Many critics dismiss the story of Jonah as a myth or fable because they reject the miraculous element of the great fish. This simply shows their inability to comprehend the supernatural nature of the God of the Bible. For one who can stay the sun or divide the Red Sea, controlling one fish is not a great problem. Jesus treated the book as a historical fact, comparing Jonah's time in the belly of the fish to his own time in the womb. Moreover, he affirmed that the repentance of the Ninevites was genuine and contrasted their reaction to the indifference of the scribes and the Pharisees. So, that was that prelude. Let's go to Jonah. And I did have, by the way, a good friend that we were talking about the Old Testament. And he particularly said, oh, he doesn't believe all that stuff in the Old Testament, all that stuff. He just believes in Jesus and what he said, you know. And so Andy specifically mentioned like Jonah and the fish, you know, those crazy things in the Old Testament. I said, the Lord talked about Jonah and the fish and took him to where he did. And I said, so if you believe what Jesus said, you got to believe that Jonah was a real man, you know, that this thing really, that he really was in a fish for 3 days. So anyway, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So to me, what's kind of interesting about this is God is sending a Jew to save Gentiles, right? This is kind of a type. He's sending a Jew to save Gentiles. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In other words, rather than obeying them, he went the opposite direction. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So the Lord told him to do something, and God's man refused to do it. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And what I like again about this is the Lord had a plan. He was going to use Jonah to do it. Jonah didn't want him to use him, but the Lord still had a plan. And it still involved Jonah in spite of his stubbornness. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. So you can imagine how scared they were that they're already throwing things out of the ship. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So again, like the Jews, he's blind and dumb. Can't see, can't hear. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. So the pagans or the Gentiles seem to have more faith in Jonah's God than he does. You know, they're asking him to call on him. And they said, everyone to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. I'm sure the Lord had something to do with that. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And that's a good question, isn't it? He's been on this ship. He's surrounded by people. He has not told them anything about God or himself or anything. They're wondering what he is. What's his occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And what people art thou? So finally, he tells them about himself. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, a Jew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Why have you brought this on us? Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. And anyway, as we're going to see further, he would rather die anyway than help those pagans. You know, if he dies, then he won't have to do what God wants him to do. Unless, what's that y'all are watching?
The Walking Dead.
and they may have gotten that out of this. You never know. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord. They cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Starting to sound like we got some believers here asking for mercy. Believers in Jonah's God. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Wow, isn't that amazing? Everything just like it was supposed to be. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. So, golly, it seems like Jonah, who was trying to avoid saving Gentiles, ended up being used to save some Gentiles on that ship, you know. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Now here's the bad news. It's not Jonah and the whale. It's Jonah and the fish. A great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. I guess we should go back at this point to, where is it? I think it's in Matthew. Is it chapter 12? Let's not back, forward. Matthew, I think it's chapter 12.
Or 12:40.
Is it where the Lord talks about it? And so it's 38 where I wanted to start. And chapter 12, verse 38, where this is when the Lord was on earth. And it says, Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Remember, they always want a sign, the Jews. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation. Those terrible sinners that Jonah refused to go to. He says, they're going to rise in judgment of this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Of course, that's our Lord. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So that's what the Lord said. Let's go back to Jonah. About Jonah, about 800 years later. So he's in verse 17. That's where I was, wasn't it? Yeah. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Maybe he's asking for mercy. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now, there's a lot of people that say that means he must have been in hell, and it might have been. But the best I can figure out, he was in a place that seemed like hell for sure. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. When he says my soul fainted, that's, I've said this before, but that's what I always think about when I did something really wrong and I was found out. The moment I realized I was found out. My soul fainted within me. Soul fainted within me. I remembered the Lord and my prayer came. In fact, that would be the natural thing to come. It's for you to pray to the Lord after that. My prayer came in unto me into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And isn't it true? And wasn't he wrapped in his vanities before this thing came on him? But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And as soon as he did that, verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Well, I never can imagine a person to be so happy to be covered by vomit on dry land. But he was happy. So he asked for mercy. He received salvation from the situation he was in. And in a sense, he was resurrected back up to the ground. The type fails past there because he wasn't resurrected to heaven like the Lord. But in that sense, the Lord compared himself to him. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. So remember, God told him to go somewhere and do something. He refused to do it. Then all this happens. And now there he is on the shore. And the Lord says again, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So to me, I think what Jonah's finally realizing is he has no choice. He might as well get this dirty deed over with that he doesn't want to do. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know, we'd be a lot more effective today if the Lord would allow us to go and talk to all these people and say, you got 40 days or you're going to hell. I mean, a bunch of them still wouldn't believe it, right? But that would scare some of them. And it did scare the people of Nineveh. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, he took it off, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. What a change. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. This was a true fast. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, unto Jonah's God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. And listen to what he says. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? The whole city repented, turned, took off their clothes, put on sackcloth, with the hope that maybe God might change his mind and not destroy them. We know. We don't have to say, who can tell if God will turn. You know, we know what's waiting for us. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, what I love about the Bible so much is its truth. You know, what man tries to do is dress things up. They would really end the story at this point and say, boy, Jonah did a great job and God got his way and everything is great. I'm sure Jonah went away celebrating. But not Jonah. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. So, Jonah knew that God was merciful, and he did not want him to be merciful to those people. That's the same reason that the Jews hated Paul, because he was going to the Gentiles to tell them that God is merciful. And invite them to repent. And they didn't want that. They wanted God to continue to be just for them. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? He's just saved, I think it was like 200,000 people in Nineveh at the time. He's just been used to save all these people, and he wants to die because he's so sad about it. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Good question, right? It's the question we hate when we're really teed off at somebody and a Christian brother comes along and says, doest thou well to be angry? Or like Kelly used to say, it was righteous anger. I had righteous anger. So that's what God is asking. In fact, let's jump over. We'll come right back here, but go to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Similar situation. And this is, of course, chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. When in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought up the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. So he's basically, if we could put it in our words, he says, Abel, you did well. Cain, you didn't. And what Cain could have said is, well, Lord, what do I need to do to please you? But it said, but unto Cain, and okay, so, and verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? You know, that's that attitude, a development, anger, resentment, you know, I'm right and I'm being told I'm wrong. And why is thy countenance falling? And verse 7 is really why I came here. He says unto Cain, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So he just is giving Cain a simple question. If you do the right thing, won't you be accepted? Isn't that all you have to do, is the right thing to be accepted? And so back to Jonah, it's the same thing. He says, doest thou well to be angry? You know, if you do the right thing, shouldn't you be happy? And here's Jonah's response. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. So we know what that means, right? He's still hoping. It looks like they're all repenting. It looks like they're going to listen to what he was sent to tell them. But he's still hoping they won't. He's seeing. Let's see what happens. Let's see them change their minds and God put the fire on them, you know. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So here's this man that is certainly not what today we would call in the spirit. He is totally in the flesh, right? And yet the Lord does something really sweet for him, right? He covers him. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. He changed from angry to happy for what he was getting. But God had a lesson to teach him. God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. So away went that sweet protection. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished to himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Back to the same old place, you know. And God asked him the question, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. I'm justified. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither thou madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Says, and yet you're mourning over that. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, 60,000 then, not 200,000, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? He says, if you can have pity on a plant that grew up in the night and is gone in the night, should he not spare 60,000 people and also much cattle? 60,000 people that can't discern between their right hand and their left. Ignorant people, I think, is really what he means by that. And yet these ignorant people turn to the Lord. And Jonah is mad over it. And that's all I got for you. If I was Frank, I'd be talking for another half hour. But
it's still
going to happen. Right? So.
Cut that.